Okay, so let's jump right in. There's been this huge cybercrime operation just taken down. I mean, really massive.
Yeah, a global thing.
Exactly. The FBI was involved, international partners. They shut down over 42,000 domains. 42,000.
That number alone tells you something, doesn't it? The scale is just wow.
It really is. And this wasn't just, tracking down one person. This was dismantling a whole infrastructure.
A platform designed to make cybercrime easy. That's what we're looking at today, right?
Right. The platform was called LabHost. And when we talk phishing, most people think, okay, bad emails asking for my password.
Usual stuff.
But LabHost was, well, way beyond that. It was what they call phishing as a service, FaaS.
Like software as a service, but for crime.
Yeah.
Basically a subscription model for cyber criminals.
Exactly. You pay your fee, you get the tools.
And this is a big deal because it massively lowers the barrier to entry. You don't need deep technical skills anymore.
You just subscribe. And LabHost, it was running from about 2021 until, well, until they got shut down this year, 2024.
3 years of operation. And the user base.
Almost 10,000 registered users. Think about that. 10,000 people paying to use this illegal
That
service.
tells you how popular, how integrated it became in that underworld.
So what made it so effective, so dangerous? This is where it gets kind of technically sophisticated.
It's about what they offered, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not just basic phishing pages.
Not at all. They had customizable phishing kits so attackers could whip up really convincing fake login pages.
And not just generic ones.
No, they could mimic the actual websites of like over 200 real companies, your bank, Netflix, whatever,
Oh, Lord.
looking almost identical.
So you as a user land on this page,
Yeah.
it looks perfectly
Yeah,
legit.
you put in your username, your
Wow.
password, boom, they've got it.
And it wasn't just websites either, right? They branched out.
Yeah, they had smishing tools too. For SMS phishing, those texts you get, problem with your delivery, click here. Yeah.
People tend to be a bit less guarded with text sometimes.
Exactly. So they offer tools for that too. But the real kicker, the thing that made LabHost stand out,
This is the really worrying part.
was the man in the middle proxies, ATM, they call it.
Adversary in the middle. And this changes the game because.
Because it could bypass two-factor authentication, 2FA.
Right. Even if you had that second code sent to your phone or your authenticator app.
These proxies could intercept it in real time. So the attacker gets your password and the 2FA code.
Which completely defeats the purpose of that extra security layer for many common implementations.
It's a stark reminder, isn't it, that even things we think make us safe, like 2FA, aren't always foolproof against determined attackers.
It's that constant cat and mouse game in cybersecurity. Defenses improve, attackers find new ways around them. ATM is a big step for them.
And once they had your details, password, 2FA code,
Yeah.
it didn't just vanish.
No, the platform handled the next step too.
LabHost had back-end data storage. So all the stolen stuff, usernames, passwords, credit card details, financial info, it got collected and delivered straight to the attacker who subscribed.
A neat little package. It streamlined the whole criminal process, from lure to theft to data collection.
Still a one-stop shop for phishing. So let's talk impact. The numbers are pretty grim.
Yeah, what did the authorities find when they got inside?
Over 1 million sets of login credentials, stolen usernames and passwords,
1 million.
and nearly 500,000 compromised credit card numbers stored on their systems.
That's almost 500,000 cards, each one potentially leading to financial loss, identity theft.
The human cost behind those numbers is huge, and the estimated number of victims globally, over 1 million individuals.
Just think about the ripple effect of that.
And remember those 42,000 domains they shut down?
Yeah.
That's probably only part of their operation, likely just what was active or easily identifiable when the takedown happened.
So the true reach could have been even wider.
Could have been. And the targets were all over the place. Banks, sure, but also streaming services, postal agencies, even government platforms.
They weren't picky. Cast a wide net, maximize the catch. That's the FaaS model.
So how did law enforcement actually manage to pull this off, taking down something this big, this distributed?
Well, it had to be an international effort. These platforms operate across borders. The FBI worked with partners globally.
And what was the breakthrough?
It really seems like the key moment was when the FBI gained access to LabHost's back-end servers.
Ah, okay. So they got behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They weren't just seeing the fake websites the victims saw. They were seeing the control panel, the user lists, the
The
infrastructure.
whole criminal enterprise laid bare.
Pretty much. That access gave them the full list of phishing domains being used, when they were set up, who was using them, all that crucial metadata.
And armed with that info, they issued something called a flash alert. What's the purpose of that?
So a flash alert is basically a rapid warning signal to organizations. It contains indicators of compromised IOCs.
IOCs, like digital fingerprints of the bad guys.
Kind of, yeah. Specific domain names, IP addresses, file hashes, things that signal malicious activity. In this case, the alert listed the known lab host domains.
So companies could check their own logs and systems.
Precisely. To see if they'd had any communication with these bad domains, maybe block them, see if any employees had clicked on links.
Okay, so even though lab host is down, the work isn't over for security teams. What are the immediate recommendations?
First and foremost, log analysis. Go back through network traffic logs, DNS logs, everything. See if there's any historical connection to those domains listed in the FLAH alert.
Digging through the past to see if you were ever targeted, basically.
Exactly. You might find connections you weren't aware of at the time. Then domain blacklisting.
Blocking those domains proactively.
Yes. Even if they're down now, block them. It prevents any accidental future clicks if something were to pop back up. And it's just good hygiene.
Makes sense. What else?
Enhanced monitoring is key. Just because the main platform is down doesn't mean every threat connected to it has vanished.
Right, there could be a lingering malware, or maybe attackers moved laterally inside a network.
Potentially. So security teams need to be extra vigilant, looking for any unusual activity that might stem from a past lab host-related compromise.
And if a company does find evidence, if they see they interacted with these domains,
Report it. Share those IOCs with the local FBI field office or the relevant national cybersecurity authority, like CISA in the US or the NCSC in the UK.
sharing that intelligence helps everyone, builds a bigger picture.
Absolutely. It helps map the full scope and can aid in preventing future attacks.
This lab host thing, it really feels like part of a bigger trend, doesn't it? This whole idea of cybercrime as a service, Callus.
Oh, definitely. It's a fundamental shift. Like we said, lab hosts just lowered the barrier for criminals.
You don't need to be a coding whiz anymore.
Nope. You can rent sophisticated tools, infrastructure, even get customer support, bizarrely enough.
Like a legitimate software business, but for crime.
Exactly. They offer user-friendly interfaces, tutorials, updates. It makes cybercrime more accessible, more professionalized in a strange way.
Which makes the criminals harder to stop and potentially more effective.
It does. They can focus on running the scams, not building the tools.
So, given this landscape, what's the big takeaway for organizations and maybe for all of us listening?
I think the main message has to be that robust cyber defense isn't like an optional extra anymore.
It's table stakes.
It's absolutely essential. Organizations need to build real cyber resilience.
And practically speaking, what does that resilience look like?
Well, for companies, a huge piece is employee education. Seriously, people are often the first line of defense or the first point of failure.
Teaching everyone to spot phishing, smishing, suspicious links.
Critically important. Then you need the tech side. Good SIEM solutions, security information, and event management.
Those are the systems that watch everything happening on the network, looking for anomalies.
Right. They correlate logs from everywhere, trying to spot attacks in real time. But you also need proactive stuff.
Like actively looking for trouble.
Yeah, threat hunting, where your security team isn't just waiting for alerts. They're actively searching for signs of intrusion that might have slipped past the automated defenses.
And testing your own defenses.
Penetration testing, yes. Regularly see if attackers could get in and fix the holes you find. And finally, have an incident response plan.
Know what you're going to do when, not if, something happens.
Exactly. Practiced, documented, ready to go. Minimize the damage.
It's a multi-layered approach then. You know, it brings to mind the kinds of services people talk about, like 247 monitoring using threat intelligence feeds.
Absolutely. Knowing what threats are out there.
All those pieces fit together. It's about creating a comprehensive security posture, not just relying on one tool. It's technology, process, and people working together.
Okay, so let's quickly recap some questions people might have, which I think we've touched on. Like, what was Lab Host?
Right. A sophisticated FAS platform selling phishing tools, including that scary ATM capability to bypass 2FA.
And how were the domains found?
FBI got access to their back-end servers, found the lists.
What if you think you clicked on something related? Check your accounts immediately, change passwords, monitor for suspicious activity, report it if necessary.
Are the domains still dangerous?
Many are down, but assume any past interaction could be risky. Block them anyway. Vigilance is key.
And protecting against FaZe in general.
It's that layered defense we talked about. Be skeptical of links and logins. Use strong, unique passwords. Enable MFA where possible, understanding its limits. And for organizations, implement all those technical and procedural controls.
And what fundamentally makes FaZe more dangerous?
It's the accessibility and the sophistication it puts in the hands of less skilled actors. Democratization of advanced cybercrime tools, essentially.
Right. So wrapping this up, the LabHost takedown is huge news, but it really underscores this persistent, evolving threat.
It shows the scale and organization level that cybercrime has reached. It's an industry.
And staying informed, understanding how these attacks work, it's not just for the security pros anymore, is it?
Not at all. We all live online. We all need a level of awareness.
Which brings us to a final thought for you, our listeners. In this world where cybercrime is becoming a readily available service, what does genuine security look like going forward? What new defenses, what higher level of awareness will we all need? Something to think about regarding your own digital life.